Our scripture reading this morning comes to us from Matthew, the sixth chapter, verses 5 through 13. Now, the day has finally arrived. We are at the last petition of the Lord's Prayer. Now, those of you that are doing the study, you've got one more week because Adam Hamilton is going to cover For Thine is the Power and the Glory Forever. Here's the sad part, though. That part isn't in our passage, right? Because that was something that was added later and is part of our Christian tradition. It's called the doxology. And but as a special mercy, since I've been promising you closure for weeks now, I'll say that part. It won't be on the slide, but I'll say that part just to give you that psychological closure at the very end. So Matthew, the sixth chapter, verses 5 through 13. Hear now the word of our Lord. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This is the word of God. May it find its way into our hearts and lives this morning by the power of his Holy Spirit. Amen. I recently got invited to participate in a training event for clergy and laity, and we're doing this evangelism workshop in April, and I got to invited to lead a session on telling your story, and I'm really excited about it because this is the first time I've ever been invited to participate in a training. Well, on this side of it, right? Actually, throughout my career, I've been invited to participate in many trainings as the person sitting in the chair, listening to and receiving the training. It seems like especially in youth ministry, back when I was a youth pastor, it seemed like that first year, everyone was really excited about me, you know? I was young and hip, and I connected with the teenagers. That was back when I was young and hip and connected with teenagers. But by the second year, it was usually like the let's fix Danny year, right? This guy dresses like a slob and he needs to learn how to manage his time, all of that kind of a thing. And so it was usually the second year at a new church that I would get invited to go to a lot of trainings. One in particular I remember was that the name of the training was How to Achieve Your Goals in 3 Easy Steps. I remember the title. I can't remember what the 3 easy steps were. I might be further along in life if I had remembered the 3 easy steps. But I remember it because it took place at a Hampton Inn. And you know how they have those little conference rooms and the rows of chairs? And there was a table in the back with the coffee pot and pastries. And what I remember is that we were supposed to write on our index cards these questions that were going to be answered at the end of the seminar, these professional questions. And my question was, how do you get people to do things they don't want to do, right? Because as a youth pastor, I had no like carrots or sticks, right? I was at the mercy of volunteers and convincing them to do things like stay up all night for a lock-in, you know, was always a hard sell. And so I was always struggling with finding the volunteers that I needed. And so that was my question. How do I convince people to do things they don't want to do? Well, our guide for the seminar shows up. He's this man named Dave. And just one look at Dave, right? If anyone was going to show us how to achieve our goals, it was going to be Dave, right? Because he looked like a man who had achieved all his goals, right? He had the three-piece suit, the slick back hair. His teeth were so white they could land an airplane, right? This guy had achieved his goals. And so Dave took us through that session, taught us how to make to-do lists, taught us how to dress for the job we want, not the job we have. The job I want is surf bum, by the way. and then he taught us that there was no I in team, but there was a you in success, all that stuff. And then at the end of the session came the Q&A. And the Q&A was when he pulled out the index cards and answered our questions. And he pulled out mine, how you convince people to do things they don't want to do. And Dave smiled. His teeth twinkled when he smiled. He said, "That's easy. I'll tell you how." And then he introduced me to something called Maslow's Hierarchy of Human Needs. Anyone ever heard of Maslow's Hierarchy of Human Needs? You've probably been to this seminar, right? Yeah, Maslow's Hierarchy of Human Needs. And for the uninitiated, it goes like this. It's like this little pyramid, right? And at the bottom of the pyramid, well, all throughout the pyramid, there are like five different human needs, right? And they all start with an S. And at the bottom of the pyramid is survival, right? Our most basic human needs is, you know, a shelter, food, water, our physiological need to procreate, all of that is in the basic human need, right? And then you go up a rung on the hierarchy of human need, and then you're at security. Right. Once you have your survival needs met, then you want to feel secure. You want to know that your need for tomorrow is met. And so that's when you start squirreling away things for a rainy day and all that kind of a thing. And then you go up and then you're worried about status. Right. Am I a part of the tribe? Am I a part of the group? Where is my esteem in the eyes of others? Right. Are my relationships secure? That kind of thing. And then you go up another rung and you're worried about success, right? Have I achieved all the things that I set out to achieve in life? And then finally, for those that have it all, that they're set for a rainy day, that they've achieved all the things they set out to achieve, that the final is self-actualization, right? Am I doing all the things that I imagine that I would do? Am I living to my fullest potential as a human being? Right? That's when, the retired CEO starts taking up painting, right? And exploring the other sides of themselves. But the point of this pyramid is wherever you are on the pyramid, whatever need you're trying to meet, you're not worrying about the other stuff, right? If you're fighting to survive, you're not worrying about whether you're living your potential as an artist, right? If you're worrying about security, you're not thinking about status, right? And so Dave said that to convince people to do things that they don't want to do, you gotta figure out where they are on the pyramid, right? You can figure out where they are on the pyramid and figure out how to pitch, right? If they're worried about status, then you convince them that helping you will help them achieve status, right? Or if they're worried about a survival, helping you will help them put food on the table, right? That tells you, you know, how you pitch. And I remember raising my hand, kind of nonchalantly. I didn't want to betray that this was my index card, right? I remember just kind of raising my hand and saying, Dave, isn't that manipulation? And Dave sort of smiled and said, well, we prefer to think of it as marketing. Now, the whole time I've been sitting there, I was trying to figure out who Dave was. Like, I had, like, seen him somewhere before, heard him somewhere before. And it was right then that it hit me. Oh, you're the devil. You're the devil. That's where I know you from. Because I remembered the story of Jesus going to the self-help seminar, right? Y'all remember that story, right? He's just been baptized, and then he's led by the Spirit into the wilderness for a self-help seminar, right? It's not in a Hampton Inn. It's in the wilderness. But he fasts for 40 days in preparation for his ministry here on earth. And then, after that 40 days, the seminar begins. The devil shows up in his three-piece suit with the slick back hair and the shiny white teeth. And begins the seminar, how to achieve your goals in 3 easy steps. Step 1, turn these stones into bread. See, the devil starts at the bottom of that pyramid, doesn't he? Survival needs. Here's the thing to understand. See, Jesus has been fasting in the wilderness for 40 days. Right? And according to Bible scholars, that means he's hungry, right? And because he's hungry, he's tempted to throw away his fasting commitment and chow down on some bread. Are you following me? Right? Here's the thing you have to understand about temptation. There has to be a part of Jesus that actually wants to do it for it to be temptation. Right? In other words, if there were a poof of sulfur in this room right now and the devil showed up with a plague of green beans and tried to tempt me with it, I'd say, be gone! Go back from whence thee came! Right? But if poof, the devil showed up with a bowl full of M&Ms, I'd say, sit down, let's talk. Right? Right? There has to be a part of you that actually wants it for it to be a temptation. What we have to realize about Jesus is that he's fully human, and his stomach growls just like our stomach growls. And there's a part of him that would like to use all that power that he's sort of been endowed with for his own needs. This power that is typically reserved for achieving God's mission on earth, helping other people, to turn it in on himself and gratify his own desires. Jesus, just like you and me, is tempted by his own appetite. See, it's hard for those of us to have, like, that basically have everything in life, you know, materially our needs are met, right? And we're at a different phase in the pyramid. It's hard for us to understand that the temptation that people face at the bottom of the pyramid to throw away the commitments to right and wrong and good morality or whatever to satisfy their most basic human needs. We have trouble understanding that sometimes. That when you're hungry and you need to satisfy that most basic need, that you're not thinking ahead, and that you're not mapping out this great plan for future success. You're living day to day. That's one of the things that we don't understand about our loved ones who are trapped in a cycle of addiction, right? One of the things that addiction does is it puts the addict in survival mode, right? It convinces the addict that this substance is the thing they need to get through the day. And so nothing else matters. Nothing else on the pyramid is important. And that's the thing that we fail to understand about our loved ones when we scratch our heads and wondering why they're acting the way they're acting. Many of us are still chasing after our appetites. In the book of Philippians, Paul describes people who are turning away from the faith, and he says they're chasing their own appetites. Their God is their stomach, right? Or in the King James, their bellies. Their God is their own bellies. We know people like that. But Jesus realizes that that he has a higher calling, that he has a higher purpose, that there are spiritual things that are more important than temporary sustenance. And so he interrupts the seminar. He raises his hand. This Mr. Devil, you forgot something. In the Bible it says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that falls of the mouth of God. So the devil takes him higher, like literally takes him higher, and takes him to Jerusalem and takes him to the top of the highest building on Jerusalem, in Jerusalem, right? But also he's taking him up the pyramid higher. Step two to achieving your goals. Throw yourself off this building. Counterintuitive, I know. But hear me out. See, doesn't it say in the Bible, Jesus, they give you that the angels won't let you stumble, that they won't let you hit your foot on a stone? Well, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself off this building and let the angels catch you. Show everyone here that you're the Son of God. Remember, there's a part of Jesus that has to want to do this for it to be tempting. The devil is playing on Jesus' need for security and status, right? Security is, you know, knowing for sure that you've got that network of angels, that insurance, right? That divine insurance that you know, nothing bad's going to happen to you, right? There's a need for certainty that tempts us. But also, picture it from Jesus' point of view. Jesus has always been an outsider among his own people. Right? To the religious establishment, he's just some hick from Nazareth that didn't get proper Pharisaical training. He's never been in the in crowd, never been in the academic circles. What if in the capital of his religion, right there in Jerusalem, in front of everybody, he performed this marvelous magic trick and the angels caught his feet? Wouldn't that change the dynamic? Wouldn't everyone around you see who you really are? That's the temptation, right? The temptation is when we're at this phase where we need status and we need security, right? We need to know that we're secure monetarily and secure in our relationship. The temptation is for certainty, to know the future. Right? And that causes in us a kind of greed, a kind of thirst for accumulation. And that way we'll know beyond the shadow of a doubt, and we won't have to trust God to give us the next day. That's the temptation, that thirst for certainty. But Jesus understands that God doesn't want his certainty, God wants his trust. So he raises his hand. There is a little chair in the back of the seminar. It says, Mr. Devil, you forgot something. In the Bible, it says, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. So the devil takes him higher, right? Literally, it says, the loftiest mountain, right? The highest mountain in the world. From this mountain, Jesus can see all the kingdoms of the world. But also higher, he's at the top of the pyramid. Because what the devil is about to offer him is all his wildest dreams come true. Ultimate self-actualization. It says, Jesus, here are all the kingdoms of the world. They've been given to me, and I can give them to whoever I want. All you have to do is bow to me. It can all be yours. Jesus, isn't this the end goal? Every knee shall bow, every tongue confessing, heaven and on earth, right? Isn't this the end goal? The kingdom of God all over the world. You can have it right now. No nails, no crown of thorns, no cross. You can have it right now. All you have to do, just between us and private on here on this mountain, no one will ever know. All you have to do is bend the knee. Say my name. A couple seconds, it will be over, and it can all be yours. The temptation on the way to success, the temptation on the way to self-actualization is compromise. The compromise of our integrity, the compromise of our values. The cutting of the corner to get what we think we're owed, what we think we deserve. I think of ordinary people in Nazi Germany. I was listening to a podcast a couple of weeks ago. They said, you know, the purpose of the salute. The purpose of the salute was to weed out the people who weren't willing to do it. Right? To create this everyday sort of peer pressure on people, right? To get them to buy in. Right? It's this quick, easy thing. Raise the arm, say Heil Hitler. And you can keep your bank account. You can keep your business. Just agree not to complain about what's happening down at the factory. Just keep your mouth shut. You can have your life. That temptation to compromise, to hold on to what we've achieved. For the early Christians, the Roman Empire did not care that they worshiped Jesus. That may be a shock to you. They didn't care. Everyone had a weird religion. Right? There were people that worshiped bulls and all kinds of things, right? And everyone had a weird religion. The Romans didn't care about this new one. In fact, they were always interested in new ones. But the Romans did demand tribute once a year, right? Tribute to the emperor. Once a year, they'd have this big celebration, and every citizen was supposed to offer tribute to the emperor. Not in place of, alongside all of your other commitments, right? And it was easy. You just show up to the celebration, you throw your pinch of incense in the fire, you raise your arm, you say, Hail Caesar. It's done. Our forefathers and foremothers would have rather gone to the lions than do that. Would we say the same? Would we do the same? But Jesus understood that even the smallest compromise would compromise the whole mission, the whole purpose for which he came. He raised his hand one more time. there in the back of the seminar. Mr. Devil, the Bible says, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And poof, the devil disappears. And Jesus is ministered to, fed by the angels. When we talk about this prayer, this lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, we are inviting Jesus to be our guide and protector in life's journey. And I guess the point I would like to make to you this morning is we are not inviting someone who has never experienced what we've experienced to be our protector and guide. We are not inviting, you know, some deity that has never felt the human growl of the stomach, that's never had to pray earnestly for their daily bread. We're not inviting someone who has never felt the need for security. I remember Jesus said to his disciples, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Jesus gets the need for security. Jesus has felt despised and rejected by the in crowd. Jesus has felt the temptation to cut corners on the way to success. But at every step, he put God first and put the kingdom first. And that's why for us as Christians, when we sit down in our pews for the seminar, we let him do the teaching. We let him be the guide. Jesus promises us this morning that we can achieve the kingdom's goals in three easy steps. You want to hear them? Trust. 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 In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.